My name is Paul Schultz, and I'm owner-operator with my wife, Carla, of Eight Plates Farm, which sells beef and pork, and also along with my wife's in-laws, Mitch and Crystal LaBear. I work full-time for another crop farm in Kingston, Michigan, so we stay busy either running tractor or feeding mouths with the beef and hog herd. But right now, currently with the fall, we're wrapping up the corn harvest. We got beans behind us. We run wheat, winter wheat, with black and navy beans as our edible beans, and then also non-GMO soybeans and corn as well.
A lot of different components going into the farm. How do you guys come to the current model that you're in? Is it a generational farm, or how did you guys find your fit?
Well, we kind of started our own small branch, as you would say, first of all, and then got quite involved with this crop farm over here in Kingston. But then currently we're working more towards working along with Carla's folks in Mayville. So it's a slow transition, but always plenty to do between three different farms here. But yeah, we're just kind of got four kids that are kind of working alongside us too now as they grow older.
This year's growing season pretty dry in many parts of the thumb. What has that meant when it comes to harvest, or maybe some issues that have really progressed this year?
Yeah, we started off the year pretty good up here in the thumb area, but boy, July just dried up. And as we started taking crops off, the dry beans did fairly well, soybeans did great. And the corn, however, certain varieties and maturities did good to excellent, but the earlier maturity corn did quite poorly. I think that a large part of that was because of the timing of pollination in July and the dryness that we had there. The sand ridges, veins in our fields just dried right up. And from there, we're getting into other large issues with the corn market in the thumb regarding vomitoxin. And that is definitely prevalent, more an issue with the earlier maturity and also the drought-stricken areas.
Looking at your average yields in other area farmers, where does this year compare to normal, and what do you expect when you're looking to finish harvest?
Where we're sitting, I would say, is average to above average for corn, surprisingly. But like I say, some of our fields, we went a little shorter maturity, 96 up to 98, and that did get hit regarding the vomitoxin issue and then also the dryness on yield. But if you get away from that sand, boy, it really did phenomenal on some of these fields. We're pushing cover crops more so that we're feeling as a large contributor to the higher yields this year.
Can you tell me a little bit more about vomitoxin and how it's appearing and what kind of discounts that might be at the elevator?
Vomitoxin we're seeing is appearing in just about all varieties in this area. It's heavier hit in certain pockets, but I've been hearing strong vomitoxin numbers throughout the entire thumb. We had a test plot of close to 30 different varieties, and some varieties were definitely more prone in higher numbers than others. And when I get into a particular field that has a hurt number, knowing that beforehand, what's key is getting correct combine settings. I'm really finding out that if we have the correct combine settings, we're able to get rid of majority of the vom, the dust, the bad kernels, all the breakage before even getting it into the combine and onto the field, or out of the field, into the bins. We're learning as we go, but we do know that we're going to have some issues.
When it comes to completing harvest, where are you at and how long before you're finished?
Well, the farm I work on, we just wrapped up yesterday, so we're pretty happy about that. But and personally, I got my rented acres done. The in-laws are still working on some corn, so hopefully get that wrapped up within a week or so here.
Paul, when you look at some of those disease pressures this year, anything you'll do next year to help prevent it?
Maybe do a little more praying on the rain part. No, I guess we are going to pay attention to the varieties. We have a couple that we will not be growing anymore, knowing that their history, and then after this year, we'll definitely be watching the brand and variety.
And any other things you're looking at, ways to cut costs or help get ahead in 2019?
Yes, we are still planting cover crops, and we're firm believers that this trend, it's not a new trend, but definitely progressive in my mind. We're moving on forward with more cover crops, trying to get, like we did last year, every acre to have something growing on it right into winter and even into spring, if possible. So that's helping alleviate herbicide costs with less herbicide use. It is helping us retain that moisture. Not too wet, not too dry. Once you get planted into it, we do a lot of no-till right into it. But yeah, there will be some things. Quite a bit of analyzing this winter over our test plots. We've got quite a few different trials, so it'll be a busy winter.
Paul, any last comments to wrap us up on this year's season?
No, I guess just real thankful that we've had a safe harvest and a great year. It really reminds me how vulnerable egg industry is, but at the same time, well, how forgiving it is also because of the fact that it was dry. We were getting real worried, especially purchasing and running our own hay ground, and then seeing the crops, the corn dry up here in July, but then boom, here comes August and September. Nice moisture, really finished the beans out, filled them up really nice. And like I say, boy, just an excellent bean harvest and a very good corn year. So.